Welcome to the Step-by-Step Wedding Prep Podcast by Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley, the weekly show that makes wedding planning fun again. Here, you'll go from planning panic, that constant sense of feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, and needing to please those around you, to being in control again, feeling confident, encouraged, and calm in planning the day you've always dreamed of. From interviews with industry experts to firsthand planning tips and more, you'll learn ways to make wedding planning easy, affordable, and as stress-free as possible. Now here's your host, Felicia Zammit McMahon.
Hello, and welcome back to the show, where we teach you everything you need to know to plan your wedding like a pro. This is episode number 11, and as always, every Wednesday, I'll be answering the most commonly asked questions couples have when it comes to planning their wedding, and bringing you expert advice from the most amazing wedding professionals in the industry. Because this is likely the first time you're planning a wedding, you're dealing with a huge learning curve and all the stress that comes with it. There's so much you don't realize you need to know, which is often the cause of what I like to call planning panic. Because I was in your shoes and felt that panic too, I want to help you shorten that learning curve to take the overwhelm out of planning and to make it as fun and as stress-free as possible. So my goal with this podcast is to give you all the tools and education you need so you can plan your wedding with ease. If you're a new listener, thank you so much for being here. I encourage you to go back through past episodes, subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or Stitcher, and follow us over at stepbysteppweddingprep.com. If you know anyone who's getting married, I ask that you please share this with them. And if this podcast is one that's been truly helping you, I'd love for you to leave a review. It would truly mean a lot. So today we're going to be talking about wedding planners. Now, if you're listening to this show, perhaps you've probably not even considered hiring a wedding planner, or maybe you have but dismissed it entirely because of budget concerns. I hear you completely. I didn't hire a wedding planner, and I never really felt inclined to until something happened on my wedding day that made me wish I had, and I'll share that story with you later in this episode. However, I encourage you to keep an open mind. If you're really stressing out, trying to keep all the moving parts in motion and staying organized, if you're not sure what happens when and are constantly seeking advice on how to do any part of the planning for your day, or if you've ever thought that having someone do all the heavy lifting for you would really make your life so much easier, then you definitely want to listen to today's show. You may even reconsider leaving a part of your budget for hiring a wedding planner. To help you learn more about wedding planners and what they do, the misconceptions about them, and how they can actually save you time and money, we have with us today a true legend in the New York City market. She's been named top wedding planner by not only Martha Stewart Weddings, but Brides, Vogue, The Knot, and Modern Bride as well. She's been a contributing editor for Martha Stewart Weddings for almost 10 years and owns and produces Martha Stewart's Wedding Party, which is the U.S.'s premier consumer bridal show. For the last 20 years, she has presided over a luxury wedding planning and design company, planning not only weddings, but also international events, catering to high-profile couples, many of whom are Fortune 500 CEOs and key executives. Her company is a one-stop shop for couples and serves as a collaborative marketing effort with wedding vendors to help couples find and hire vendors in the New York City market. Over the years, her company has grown to become the largest wedding planning business in New York City, which now includes a deep selection of bridesmaids' dresses and is a flagship for Amsala, Millie, and Corin Moore. It also includes luxury wedding invitations and tabletop and wedding accessories. It's my pleasure to welcome today Claudia Hanlon, owner and founder of The Wedding Library. Please enjoy our conversation. Hi, Claudia. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Felicia. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much. I have wanted to get a wedding planner on the show for a while. And with your expertise and your knowledge of wedding planning and your years in the business, I couldn't think of any better person to have on the show than you. I wanted to have you on because there's oftentimes a stereotype or a misconception that brides and couples have when it comes to hiring a wedding planner. You know, we've seen them in movies and we've seen them on TV shows. And, you know, I always, every time I think of a wedding planner, I think of Frank from Father of the Bride.
And everyone does.
Oh, yeah.
Or J-Lo.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. That was another good one, too. I haven't seen that in a while. I need to watch that.
Definitely.
You know, so obviously from what we've seen, there's oftentimes like a misconception or sort of, you know, stereotypes as to what wedding planners are and what they do. You know, oftentimes maybe they think that they're going to take over the entire wedding and plan the wedding that they want instead of the wedding that the couple wants. So in a nutshell, because I know you guys do a lot, but in a nutshell, can you explain exactly what a wedding planner is and what they do?
Yeah, there are a lot of misconceptions. Well, I think to really encapsulate it, a wedding planner is your logistical person, the person who's going to make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed, and that your wedding is going to flow the way you envisioned it. So really, it is the person to make sure that every detail is caught, that things aren't forgotten or misunderstood. It is the point person throughout the day. It is the person who, or team, who are going to make your day enjoyable for you and your family, rather than a day where you are, you know, playing the host and having to think about every guest and every detail that's going on throughout the day. So it frees you up to enjoy your wedding day.
Nice. Now you mentioned that sometimes there could be a team. So is a wedding planner like a singular person, or do you bring a team of people with you, or does it kind of depend on the size of the wedding?
I've never done a wedding on my own. So my answer would be that it's always a team of some sort. And when I staff up a wedding, I tend to I don't think of it as overstaffing, but my clients often wonder how I can have so many staff working at a wedding. And my answer is that why would I want to have people standing around? Literally every single person on my team is working from the moment they get on property or at the venue till the very last minute of the night, usually not sitting down, you know, 10 minutes for a meal somewhere, grabbing a granola bar and on their feet the entire time. So it's sort of remarkable, but my teams are always busy. An average team for a wedding, I think for me, is about 5 staff. Wow. 3 is sort of, can be for a pretty small wedding or a tiny wedding without many logistics. And 12 would be for a huge wedding. So somewhere between 7 and 12, but, 5 or 6 is a good number for most weddings. And like I said, I do keep them busy the whole time.
Wow. Now, does each member of your staff, I'm assuming they're assigned to like a different role?
Exactly. So that, they may not each be working 12 or 15 hours the way I might be, but, they all will be probably doing at least 8 hours. And that would be from, say, some of the staff might be working on transportation. So they might be at every hotel waiting for guests to come down from their rooms to depart, and coordinating the logistics of the bus companies and transportation, even, and then for the bride and the groom, and their bridal parties as well. So that might be 2 or 3 staff, and then they might move on to something else later on in the day. There's, of course, somebody with the bride, somebody with the groom. So that's 2 people right there. And usually the staff member who's with the bride has an assistant, so they can stay with the bride and her family. And if an errand is needed, that assistant can run off and go do that errand, or fight that fire. Then let's just say there's a church, there would be somebody at the church making sure that the church is ready and has the vendors there are all prepared and ready to go. And then, of course, somebody at the venue or two people at the venue, you know, getting everything ready on that side. So, I mean, as you can see, that's more than five right there. And like I said, some, you know, the people, the team members do move around. So they're not just doing one thing all day long. Mm-hmm. And yes, I do assign them to certain tasks so they know what's expected of them. And like I said, they're kept busy every minute of the day.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I, we didn't hire a wedding planner for our wedding, but the day of the wedding, I kind of wish I had hired somebody at least for a day of planning because there was one incident when we got to the church, like everything was kind of going fine. And I didn't even realize this happened until after I looked at the video. But apparently we had members of our bridal party walking down the aisle with no music. So they started walking before the music started. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, and I was like in the back room. So I didn't see any of this going on. I heard the music playing. So I assumed like everything was going as planned, but we didn't have a person to coordinate between the person playing the music and my bridal party as to when to start walking. So, so now like when I watch that video, I kind of cringe a little bit. I'm like, oh gosh, like I wish I had somebody.
Exactly. Well, things, you know, can go wrong. And, certainly if you don't have a point person, or a planner, you can always assign somebody. It has to be, you know, it's hard for it to be somebody in your family because they're probably walking down the aisle too.
Right.
But, you know, maybe somebody from work or someone who you could hire just to like target those little things that, you know, that you know can go wrong like that. Or even speaking with the musicians prior to make sure that there's somebody on their team who, you know, will know when to cue your bridal party or whomever to walk down the aisle. It's tricky. There's a lot of moving parts. And sometimes I'll have a client who asks if I can reduce the number of staff that I bring along to a wedding. And that's one area that I always refuse. And I sort of explain it that obviously if something goes wrong, that is the point of having your wedding planner. So for example, if I didn't have a staff member, I'd reduce my staff to the point where I didn't have someone at the ceremony, then the problem that happened with your wedding would have happened anyway. There would be nobody there to handle it. So I always prefer to overstaff than understaff and overprepare.
So that kind of ties into my next question because, you know, I mentioned, you know, having somebody at least like a day of coordinator. So there's different types of wedding planning that I'm not sure couples realize that there's different options. So there's, you know, there's full planning, there's day of planning, partial planning. Can you explain what the different types are and what they do?
Absolutely. So full planning, and it means different things to different planners, of course, and they charge differently for this. And so I'll just sort of give you broad strokes or even what it means to me. So full planning means that your planner is going to be willing to do anything for you. So they will be willing to make appointments for your mom to pick out a dress. They're going to go with you to your dress appointments and to your fittings, to your table sample, to your visits to a rental company, tent company, really everything. They're going to be at your disposal to answer questions, emails, calls, in-person meetings. They're going to be there for the rehearsal, of course, and for the day of the wedding from beginning to end. So really, you have them at your disposal. And that can be obviously, you know, even more than a year. So they're somebody you really can rely on, somebody you can text in the middle of the night about a design question or, you know, an etiquette issue. And they should be responsive to you. And that's full planning. So partial planning is anything less than that, frankly. So I think of partial as being a completely custom package for my clients. So often my clients will have done some of the tasks that are required for a full planner. So maybe they've already chosen their venue. They've chosen, let's just say they've chosen all of their vendors already. And, you know, they're just nervous about a few issues. They don't really have a grasp on the timeline for sending out invitations. They you know, want some help as they get closer in the last few months of the wedding to confirm things with vendors, make sure they've got everything they need from those vendors contracted. And then again, through the day of where, you know, there's somebody there from beginning to end. So the way I look at partial is completely a la carte, meaning if you feel like you've done some of those tasks, but not all of them, I will carve out a package for you that excludes certain tasks and includes others. So, you know, some of the ones that are most important to clients to either include or exclude are stuffing, stamping, and mailing invitations. They could be planning your transportation plan. It could be distributing gift bags and assembling them. All of those things take a lot of time for me and my team to do. And so there were just sort of a lot of manpower. And some of those same items are things that brides want to do with their family, with their bridesmaids. Their mom has said that she'd like to do the gift bags or favors. So if that's the case, then I can exclude those from my package. And that way the client benefits from not having to pay for full planning services, all the services that I provide, and we can just tailor down what they need to what I call partial planning. A lot of other people call it month of, and have a very specific group of tasks that they will and won't do in their partial planning. And generally those are things that are being done later, much later in the process, like a month or 2 months before the wedding. And then finally, day of is a very, very, I think it's a very tricky service that some planners offer. And I don't really offer this because I feel like it's so tricky. Basically, day of, again, planners have figured out different packages for it. But really the idea is that a planner is going to step in and take hold of everything on the day of the wedding and be there from the beginning to the end. I think it's a tricky job because basically you as the bride have been planning your wedding for a year, let's say. You've been talking to vendors for a year. You've had dozens of phone calls, millions of emails with your florist. You've, you know, built, you know, such importance in certain things that you're going to be doing. Maybe it's your first dance. Maybe it's your dad's toast. Maybe it's the color of your linens or what kind of flowers you're using. Or maybe it's cueing the music for when your bridesmaids walk down the aisle. So basically, you're asking a planner to learn a year's worth of your preferences, a year's worth of how, in my case, I would normally get to know you and know what's important to you and what isn't. And you're asking them to learn it in a few meetings, let's say three meetings or two meetings, where the bride provides you with all the contracts, you review them, and basically you're executing on whatever mistakes maybe the bride has made throughout the planning process, and certainly plenty of things that you're never going to be able to really know every detail about, just because you're not in having had the luxury of investing that much time in the relationship with them. So basically you're showing up, and really I think of it then at that point as being like an assistant. So you basically won't have all the answers to everything. So you're going to still be returning back to the bride or the bride's mom or whomever the contact person is to say, you know, there's not a spot on the bus for Uncle Jimmy. Is he meant to be on the bus? And, you know, so we're still reverting back to asking family members. So it is a great service. And if you, you know, you don't have partial or full planning, it certainly is really helpful, but it doesn't fill in a lot of the blanks of where there really can be problems. So if it's a more complicated wedding or you're really have a lot of delicate issues to deal with, day of is a tricky service.
That kind of leads into my next question, because for the most part, I feel like a lot of couples might be on the fence to hiring a wedding planner. So the couples that do book a wedding planner, why do they do so? Like, what's their main reason or concern for doing so?
Well, I hope that a big reason for doing so is that they feel that hiring a professional to do a job that has a professional career behind it is going to be a wise choice for many reasons, that hopefully we will save you time, we will save you money, we will make sure things are going to run smoothly, we will provide really good advice, we'll know the etiquette and the way things should be done, we'll empower you to make decisions that work for you. So sometimes that means breaking the rules, but understanding maybe what those rules are. I think a lot of people are really confused about what the steps are for planning a wedding. So hopefully they're hiring a planner whom they can trust to help them with those decisions. So I think, you know, those are the main reasons that people hire a planner. I think some people hire planners because they feel like it's the thing to do. That's not a great reason to hire a planner, but hopefully they will still, you know, do a lot for you. I think sometimes, I think sometimes there's some very bad reasons for hiring a planner, which I can name, like not, you know, arguing with your mother or your daughter and hiring a planner to be a go-between. I think that's a really bad reason to hire a planner. I think, you know, somebody, you know, a therapist where you just feel like everything is out of control and, you know, this person's going to solve all the problems of your life. I think that's a bad reason to hire a planner. You know, the flip side of that is to keep you organized, which is a good reason to hire a planner.
Right.
You know, I think also knowing what you're hiring and who you're hiring is really important. There are some planners, which we didn't talk about, who do design and styling. So if you're hiring a planner who doesn't do that, I think it's a bad reason to hire a planner if their design aesthetic doesn't match yours. And yeah, if that's not part of what they do, one of the services I provide is design and even design and production. So that kind of expands the job of planner to designing the whole wedding from beginning to end. So traditionally, that's not what a planner does. And production, meaning I will bring in all the design people. So the floral team, the rentals, everything will come under the wedding library, you know, company. Mm-hmm. And it leads to a really cohesive look and feel. So that's why somebody would hire a planner to also do design. Maybe styling would be another way to put it, and production, so that they have a really cohesive look and feel to their wedding and they really want, that's really important to them.
Wow. Wow. So that's really interesting. So then basically I would assume like the couples that hire wedding planners to do basically like the planning stuff plus the design and production are pretty much, we're getting married, go off, do the whole thing for us and just tell us what time to show up pretty much. Is that kind of safe to say?
That'd be an ideal client. I think that, that for the most part, it's collaborative. Okay. So I think for most of my clients, they do appreciate my aesthetic and my judgment and we build a relationship together. And so as we go through the process, we build trust. And I can feel like I really understand what they like. And I can also give my input as to what I think, you know, will be the most effective, the best way to spend their money, the most beautiful, the most reflective of who they are as a couple, the most interesting, and the most perfect for their guests. So, you know, you really want them, your guests, to be comfortable as well. So, you know, knowing that certain things are not going to really work, whether it's timing wise or just degree of difficulty or too sketchy, like, for example, you know, not having a rain plan or not having the option of a rain plan. Those are things that, you know, I highly advise against. So, you know, those are all good reasons to have a planner and a designer, but usually the process is pretty collaborative.
So that's good to know that, you know, throughout the whole process, like no matter like, you know, if you're hiring somebody that, you know, just for planning or for design and production, that it is a collaborative process. So I think that kind of dispels one of the fears that couples have in that, you know, if I hire a wedding planner, I'm not going to have the wedding of my dreams. It's going to end up being like their vision instead. So that's a really great point that you make that, you know, throughout the whole thing, it's a collaborative process and the wedding planner is there to help your dream and your vision become reality. And it's really great too, because there's so many things, you know, couples only plan a wedding, you know, for the most part, this is the first time they're doing this, you know, and there's so many unknowns. So it's great to have that sounding board, you know, somebody that they could go to and say, oh, is this the right thing to do? Should we be doing this now? And, you know, just to have that kind of sounding board as they're going through to help alleviate some of that stress of, oh, am I doing this right? Or I don't know if I should be doing this. So a wedding planner really is sort of, it kind of goes beyond planning and it kind of becomes like a trusted friend throughout the whole process because they're really guiding you and holding your hand throughout the whole thing.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've noticed recently over the last years is that when I'm working with a client who does want a really creative, really original, really beautiful, memorable event, they're often afraid to think out, well, they can think outside of the box, but they're, you know, really cautious about acting outside of the box. And so, you know, I'm there as well to provide encouragement for ideas that, you know, at first blush may seem a little wonky, but, you know, as I learn about their motives for doing things a certain way, I, you know, I can embrace those and make it work for them, which I think is really important that you have somebody who's on your side and on your team who's willing to let you be really creative and enable you to translate your creative ideas to a plan that will work for you, your family, your guests, and also your vendors. So it's something that will work for everybody.
So when a couple comes to you or, you know, to a wedding planner, what does the process look like? You know, when they decide, yes, you know, we're going to need a planner, we're going to need some help. That first meeting, you know, what does that look like? What can they expect when they hire a planner? And I'm sure it's different for everybody, but, you know, if you could explain kind of like what you do.
Well, certainly I want to get to know a prospective client. So that's really the most important thing. I want to understand and learn about how they got engaged, how they met their fiance, what they do for a living, what they like to do in their spare time, where they live, a little bit about their families. I want to know about their friends, where their guests coming from, and then some really basic things that I think are really important for every couple to know as they're hiring a planner. These are always going to be the first three things that I'm going to request of my clients, which is knowing their budget. And it's a surprising number of clients come to me without really understanding that. And I can help them with that process too, but that's where we want to get to, understanding their budget, knowing how many guests they're having. And I know that that seems like, oh, well, you could wait a while for that. It's really important, especially if you don't have a venue yet, to know how many guests you're going to have. It also reflects directly back to your budget. So, you know, you can have a huge budget with 10 guests. That can be great. But if you have, you know, what seemed like a huge budget and you have 400 guests, you know, doesn't quite go as far. So to me, obviously, those two numbers, the budget and the number of guests, really go together. And then the third thing is they don't have to have the answer of, like, you know, what their color scheme is or, you know, every last detail. But I want to have an idea of the feel that they want to create. Do they want like a rocking dance party? Do they want it to be, you know, super organic feeling? Do they want to have, you know, do they want to feel like a princess? Like, just a sense of, like, where are we going with this event? Those three things are, you know, if you got that, you've got a great launching pad for the next steps of the relationship. And, you know, you can go into those, but those are, you know, working on a budget together once they have a big kind of blanket number, understanding what that really means, starting to look for vendors and a venue if they're at that stage, and then working on design. So
nice. And it's interesting, that you mention guest list, because it's honestly like one of the first things you really need to know, because if you're looking at venues, and maybe their max capacity is only 100, but then you make your list and you realize you have 150 people, that venue is not going to work. Either it's going to work and you're going to have to cut, or you're going to have to find, another venue. So having that list, I mean, you don't have to know exactly, how many people, but a very, very decent, good ballpark. Like I know when we started out, we're thinking, maybe 75 people. And it's a good thing we went back and made the list, because we ended up with 120. And that's something that you really need to do right away. And like you said, with the budget as well, if you're thinking of, something extravagant and you only have like a $10,000 budget, you may have to cut some things here and there, or find a workaround, for that. So those are really great points that you make, that I feel like, sometimes couples may not realize that you have to know that right away.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and again, if your wedding is, let's just say between 100 and 200 guests, which is, I think, pretty average, you don't have to know that you're having 107 people, but knowing within a 10 or 20% margin is really important. And also, if budget is a concern in any way, then the biggest determinant of your budget is the number of guests you have. That your food, beverage, venue, if that's all tied together, is your biggest, is probably about half of your budget. So for every guest you add or subtract, you're going to be making a large impact on your overall budget, likely.
Now, what can somebody expect to pay for planning services? I mean, again, every planner has their own different, charges differently, but a ballpark, I guess, sort of estimate of how much of their budget they should set aside for a planner if they do decide to hire one.
Right. Yeah, that is a tricky question. If we're talking about full planning, which is, I guess let's just call that the gold standard, where you're really getting all the services that you need from your planner, even if you don't need every single thing that is on their list. I would say between 10 and 15% of your budget is about right. I think once you start going over that 15% mark, you might be needing to look for a different kind of planner or a different kind of planning services, because you really shouldn't be going too much above that. And, so just like a florist has a base price, not all florists do that, but often have a base price for the types of weddings they do, a planner, a responsible planner, really should turn down a wedding where their fees are too great a percentage of their potential client's budget. So that is how I look at it. If a budget of somebody who's coming to me for planning services is, I know that my fees are going to be higher than, say, 12% of their entire budget of their wedding, then I might refer them to a planner that is a better fit.
So that's really great advice. And, since we're on the topic of budget, you mentioned something earlier that a wedding planner can actually save you money. So can you explain what you mean by that and how that would work?
Certainly. I mean, there are lots of ways that your planner should be certainly using your money very, very, very wisely. So let's say you love a photographer and your planner knows, and you maybe know, that photographer is out of your budget. So you might be inclined to stretch and just say, okay, I just want this person so badly and I love their aesthetic, I'm just going to hire them. Your planner should be, being the manager of your budget as well and saying, oh my gosh, if we spend all this money out of your budget on a photographer, you won't be able to afford the blah, blah, blah that you want to have in some other part of your wedding. So a great planner is going to hopefully find you another photographer who perhaps is not as experienced or as well known as the one that you're in love with, but has the same aesthetic feel and is perhaps junior to that other photographer, but very talented, maybe up and coming. So one way your planner can save you money is by being able to tap into wonderful talent and to give you options of great vendors at different price points. So that's one way. A second way, of course, is to know when they can negotiate the vendor. So back to our, you know, finding this fabulous photographer who's a little out of your budget. So that planner may know that photographer, hopefully does, and may be able to say, you know, I think that's this photographer would love to do your wedding. So, you know, why don't we ask the photographer if they'd be willing to shave their budget to be able to work with you. So that's the second way that your planner might be able to save you money. A third way is in helping you not make mistakes in the first place. I don't know if you've ever bought that dress that you thought was going to be perfect, and then you bring it home and you're like, oh my God, this looks awful on me. I'm never going to wear it, and it's a waste of money. So your planner, hopefully, in a million ways, is going to help you not make those bad decisions to begin with, or even just to slow down your process so that you're they're really considering all the things you want to accomplish with your wedding. And that goes back to, like, let's just say look and feel. You know, if you're suddenly coming in with a pink and green color scheme and you said you wanted to have a really dark and moody wedding, but you have, you know, you're on Pinterest and you see these pink and green things you really love, your planner might be the one who reins you in and says, you know, is that really, you know, fitting in the look and feel of your wedding? So they're going to help you save money by just making wise decisions. They're going to hopefully save you money by keeping you on time. I have a very large stationery business where, you know, one of the ways that clients who are not my planning clients, we could call it wasting money, is by delaying to the point where they have to rush certain parts of their stationery process. It's very easy to get into that situation where your part of your stationery order has to be rushed. And rush fees are really expensive. So as are change fees. And so a good planner is going to help you and prod you into making your decisions and ordering all your stationery and different things that you need to order throughout the process, so that you don't incur any rush fees. So again, it's just, you know, ways that you're not wasting money. Another final way, I mean, I'm sure there are a million others, but are in advising you and putting good vendors, great vendors in front of you. So for example, even for my wedding, I did 3 or 4 hair and makeup trials. Those are not inexpensive, you know, before I found the right vendors for me. And, you know, had I had a planner who gave me one really great hair person, one really great makeup person, and I could trust them or did one trial with them, I would have saved a lot of money. And so, you know, again, it's just good decision making.
Yeah. And a planner, I mean, obviously, you know, if you hire one that's had a lot of experience, they're going to know a lot of people and they're going to know, like, who's going to fit best with your aesthetic, who's going to fit best with your personality, who's going to fit best with your budget. And like you said, it eliminates a lot of those mistakes that can be costly, because you mentioned there's, you know, rush fees for invitations, but there's also rush fees for wedding gowns. You know, if you wait too long to get your wedding gown, you know, I mentioned this in a past episode, you know, they take, you know, 6 to 9 months to create and ship and, you know, get back to you. So if you wait until the last minute, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's so much. So having somebody there to kind of keep you on track and keep you on schedule can save you a lot of money in the long run, because you're not rushing. Absolutely. And you're not making hasty decisions that end up being, you know, mistakes in the long run. So yeah, that's so, so important. So we're almost out of time for today. Is there anything else that you feel couples should know about wedding planners that we haven't discussed? Or, you know, is it something, do you see couples hiring planners sort of like last minute, or is it something that they decide right away? Like, yeah, you know, we need one. Or is it something that they kind of decide later on, like, oh boy, we should hire one now?
Well, I do see people are hiring planners all throughout their process. And sometimes when things start to get away from them, that's when they just suddenly decide, oh, I need a planner. Or they feel like they can wait until the end and then hire a partial or day off planner. I recommend interviewing a planner upfront. So as soon as you get engaged, interview, ask around and interview, even if you're not intending to hire them until later in the process. Hear them out, maybe find the right person for you and then hire them later. Or even, I don't know, I think it makes more sense to hire them as early as possible because, you know, depending on the planner, maybe, you know, you can call them and touch base every once in a while and they sort of have a connection to you. Maybe you can ask them a few questions like, oh my gosh, I'm, you know, on the fence about this florist. What do you think? And I think the likelihood is they're going to give you a little bit of a free advice there, but they're also going to, you know, be keeping track of you and your plans throughout the process. And so knowing who your planner is so that if you suddenly do feel like you're in a bind, that you have somebody that you know and trust and perhaps have already contracted. I think it's a good move. So
yeah. And now for those couples who might be on the fence, like maybe they've thought about it, but then, you know, they decide, you know, because of their budget, maybe not. What advice do you have for couples who might be on the fence on hiring a wedding planner or not?
I think obviously if it's a budget issue, then I think having some type of planner is better than having nothing. So at the most extreme level, I would say, you know, hiring a college student or a friend, you know, a friend of a friend or somebody who you know is hyper organized just for the day of the wedding is probably a great idea. You know, you should be able to pay them like a personal assistant or an organizer type rate. So, you know, it's not going to be a huge investment. So, you know, I highly recommend that on the extreme end. And if you can't hire a planner, no matter what, I would say to create a really detailed timeline for yourself is crucial. So, I don't know, you know, go online and pay for a webinar class from a planner, an experienced planner who's going to tell you how to make a timeline, you know, watch some videos so that you really understand how to do that and create that timeline. What it will do for you is it will expose some of the holes, not every hole, because that's why you have a planner. But for example, if you had had a timeline, you know, for your wedding, maybe you would have realized, how are my bridesmaids going to know when to walk down the aisle?
Right.
So it would have exposed maybe that question to you. And, you know, even if you don't have anyone to execute the answer, at least you can prepare for those things ahead of time. And, you know, I also maybe hiring a planner on an hourly basis to understand your total budget and really understand if there is room for a planner. Because if you're doing it on your own, you might not have a totally great handle on what your total budget is. And so, you know, there are definitely planners out there who work on an hourly basis. So that's another solution. So those would be my answers if you really are, you know, on the fence and you don't feel like you need a planner.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that you mention the timeline too, because, you know, it may be helpful, you know, if you really can't hire a planner to talk to other people who have gotten married and ask them what went wrong during their day. So then you can figure out, oh, okay, so that was something that they missed. I need to add that into my timeline to kind of see, like, nobody wants to talk about like what went wrong, but you know, right. It's nice to know that so that you could say, okay, that's something I hadn't thought about. I need to add that into my timeline. And, you know, kind of going back to my situation, I had no idea. I didn't even realize that was something I needed to worry about. Like how are people going to realize when they need to walk down the aisle? It wasn't even something that entered my mind. So knowing that ahead of time would have saved me, you know, some anguish later
Absolutely. On. So. Well, you might have been able, I don't know what happened with your wedding, but you know, if you had a rehearsal, you know, and you actually go through the steps, even, you know, having done, I think, over 500 weddings, wow. I still want all of my clients to have a rehearsal. because I may know when the bridesmaids need to walk out, but they could be nervous and may not know exactly what's going on. And I want everyone to feel really comfortable in their roles. And, you know, some strange thing might arise where I'm like, oh gosh, the aisle is a lot longer than I thought it was. You know, maybe the piece of music needs to be longer, or I need to send the bridesmaids out in quicker succession, or, you know, ask them to walk a little bit faster or whatever, you know, you that all gets exposed at a rehearsal. So, you know, anytime you have the opportunity to walk through things, talk through them with your band leader or the catering manager or the string quartet who's doing your ceremony, or your officiant, whenever you have those opportunities and you don't have a planner, mm-hmm. take the vendors up on those.
Yeah.
So you are better prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because we did have a rehearsal, but I don't know what we rehearsed. We rehearsed we rehearsed like who is going to walk with who. And we practiced walking and we practiced the readings, but I don't think the music just, it didn't even like enter into the whole rehearsal for some reason. I don't know why, but that's another good reason to have a planner too, because they're going to know, you know, what happens when, and they're going to be able to tell you, like, you know, you could practice, you know, with the music and, you know, practice walking, you know, like you say, practice walking as if it's like, you know, some big challenge, but when you're walking with a partner time to music, it can get a little bit tricky. You know, cause like you said, depending on the length of the aisle or depending on the length of the song, you don't want to walk too fast. You don't want to walk too slow. So, you know, trying to get the timing of that just right, takes a little bit of practice too. So, so all good points. You know, if you're a couple listening to this and you're on the fence about hiring a wedding planner, definitely listen to this a couple times, because there's going to be things that you might have missed the first time, and things that are going to really help you in the planning process. If you think that you are getting just going to be really frazzled and unorganized and just need a lot of help, definitely consider adding into your budget money for a planner as well. So, like I said, we're almost out of time, but I did want to go over, I like to do this with all my guests. I like to ask them five fun questions, sort of like a lightning round at the end. So the first thing I want to ask you is, what was the last nice thing you did for someone?
Well, I don't know when people are going to be listening to this podcast, but right now we're in the midst of the corona, the COVID-19 epidemic, yeah. Pandemic, I guess. And so, there are lots of nice things that are surrounding that that are available to do and that I've had the opportunity to do. So some of the things have been bringing soup to a friend who actually has corona.
Oh, wow.
I know. And a couple of meals. Delivering flowers on a couple friends' doorsteps. Nice. I certainly have been writing more letters to family and friends around the world, just so that they get something in their mailbox, and using Amazon to send off a few treats to people who I know don't have access to all the resources that they need. So those are some of the nice things I've been up to.
Nice. So how did you get into this field and wedding planning?
Well, I think like so many people in the wedding industry, I think you included, I got involved by planning my own wedding. So When I planned my wedding, I thought that, well, it was pre-wedding planners really, but I thought it was a really difficult process and that it should be easier and that there should be resources for brides to access that really spoke to them and kind of could fit their aesthetic and their needs and their budget. And so I came up with the idea of the wedding library, and that was 20 years ago. So I've been hopefully finding great vendors and services and planning for brides ever since.
Nice. Yeah. And it was the same with me too. Like I had always wanted to get into the wedding industry even before I got married, because I studied fashion design. I wanted to be a bridal gown designer. And quickly realized that my lowest grades were in my sewing classes, so that wasn't going to pan out very well. But, you know, I interned at a couture bridal salon, and I knew weddings in some capacity were going to be part of my life very early on, even when I was in college. And then it kind of fell by the wayside a little bit. And then like when I got married, it kind of reignited that spark for me. Now, what's something people may not know about you?
Well, apropos of how I got into the business, I have a master's in international business law. And and I was a management consultant prior to being a wedding planner. Wow. So I feel like that's an interesting tidbit.
Yeah.
People might not have expected.
It's always interesting to hear people's story and how they started and, you know, what their, I guess, previous lives were prior to getting into the industry. So that kind of leads to my next question. What's your favorite hobby or pastime? What do you love to do when you're not doing weddings?
I love collecting photography.
Wow.
Contemporary photography. I love going to art museums, particularly museums that were once a home. So a home of the artist or a private collection. I love traveling and travel writing. And I love teaching.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, I love teaching too. It's something that's, I've just always had a passion for it also. So obviously you've been in the industry for a long time. You have worked with some incredible people and incredible planners along the way. What is the best piece of wedding advice you have for an engaged couple?
The most important thing, I think, is to not get lost in the weeds, to remember the big picture. Why are you getting married? You're getting married because you love the person that you're with, that you are forming a partnership, that you're joining two families, that you hope to have your own family maybe, and because you love that person. Mm-hmm. So getting really, really caught up in whether or not your tablecloth is the right shade of pink, or that a vendor is not available to you, those things really become meaningless, you know, later on. And so remembering why you're there, I think, is a steadying force, I think, throughout your wedding planning process. And, you know, I also think to remember that the vendors who are working with you, this is a different perspective, are there for you. The wedding industry is full of small businesses and small business owners almost entirely. Mm-hmm. And they all care so much about the industry and they all love weddings and they really are looking out for your best interests. So it really, you know, I feel like a lot of clients come at the contract process or the vendor choosing process or even decisions that are made throughout, you know, they're planning with some suspicion or concern. And, you know, I think remembering that every vendor just wants to do the right thing is really important. And you see that in spades when times are hard. So again, for example, right now when people are having to change venues and change dates and postpone, and that can happen to anyone at any time. Mm-hmm. You know, the wedding industry has really come together to help their clients have the best day possible. And that's what every vendor wants for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So before we go, where can people find out more about you?
Certainly on my website, which is theweddinglibrary.com. I love Instagram. So I post almost every day, I think. So that handle is @weddinglibrary. And by email, they can always write to me, Claudia@theweddinglibrary.com. Or call me on my cell. I love to hear from anyone who's looking for advice on their wedding plans.
All right. Awesome. So I will post those in our show notes. And again, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. I hope to talk to you again.
All right. Well, that's the end of our show for this week. If you've enjoyed this show, I'd love for you to leave a comment and subscribe to our show. And if you know anyone who could really benefit from hearing this, please share it with them. If you have a topic or question you'd like covered on the show, definitely send it our way. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at SBS Wedding Prep. And if you're a Hudson Valley bride or groom, you could join us over at Wedding Connections of the Hudson Valley at www.weddingconnectionshv.com and on Instagram at WedConnectHV. We'll be back next week with even more amazing wedding planning tips and advice. So until then, happy planning.